Sorry that Brother Jonathan won't be here to bring the message this morning, so we're trying to help him out a little bit. We're bringing a message to you this morning that we've titled Sharing the Message with Others. That's part of the Christian life, you know, to let others know what we have. The world would try to convince us that being a Christian is just something you keep to yourself and you don't have any business talking about it. It's not up to you to decide anything for anybody else or let them know what they should do. We live in a free world and everybody has the right to do their own thing. That's kind of the way it is, isn't it? But God had a different plan. He had the plan whereby His message of salvation was intended for everybody. And the method by which that message was to be given to them was by those who already accepted it. So there is this matter of sharing the message with others. There are a couple things that I want to share with you about that. One of them is you must have a living faith before you can share it. There's a beginning place. You can't share what you don't have. And if you have it, you ought to be most grateful to the Heavenly Father for bestowing it upon you. And then according to His wishes, it should be that you see fit to tell others about it. You see, all of the exhortation and urging and preaching and pleading in the world won't help you to share what you don't have. So maybe this message might not apply to you if you don't have the faith in God and the commitment to serve Him. You don't have anything to share that God really wants you to share with others. So listen with that idea in mind. You can't give away what you don't have yourself. And so the first thing is to be sure that you have it according to the scriptures. Each summer in Atlantic City on the coast, there is a contest held where various people bring their rod and line and compete to see who will be the champion fly caster in the nation. Several years ago, the man who won the title had never even caught a fish in his life. That was an unusual thing. But that's not the way it is as far as your testimony for Christ. You must have it yourself in order to give it to others. Has to be that way. Maybe the reason you aren't effective in reaching other people for Christ, maybe, is that you don't have the faith and the commitment to the Lord in your own life. Is that a possibility? There aren't too many here, but is it possible that some among our number would be those who don't have the faith to commit to others? Here is the way it reads in 2 Timothy 1:8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. It sounds as though someone might have been tempted to be ashamed for the apostle to write to Timothy and tell him, don't be ashamed to talk about God. The world might not want you to, and they might say, shut up, keep it to yourself. You can't tell people how to live their lives. But here it says, don't be ashamed to testify about the Lord, or of me his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. He sounds as though when you do share it, it might involve some suffering, doesn't it? Do you think people ever put down a Christian for talking about God and about the Bible? Trying to make you feel like you're the one in the wrong. Like you're not doing the right thing to be talking about the Lord because it's such a private thing, they say, that you just have to keep it to yourself. It says, the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus for all eternity. But besides that, and this is what sounds strange, and that is, you must give it away in order to keep it. Now that doesn't make any sense, does it? You give it away in order to have it or keep it. How can you effectively give away or share your faith with others? How can you do it? Well, there are three things that I think are important, and they'll be able to register in your mind because they spell the word ACT, A-C-T. The first one is attitude. We could look up a number of verses, but we won't take the time this morning, that show that sincerity is important. In fact, this passage that we read here speaks about not being ashamed of the gospel. But sincerity is the first attitude. If people don't see you're sincere about what you believe in, they're not going to pay any attention to you. One of the things that turns more people off probably than anything else is to see or hear a professing Christian go on about God and the Bible and salvation and then see them living a very ungodly life. Hypocrisy. And people use that as an excuse for why they don't want anything to do with Christianity. Friendliness is another thing. We need to be friendly to people. It doesn't matter where they come from, what they are, what they look like. Friendship is something the Christian is obligated to extend to those who are unsaved. If they don't feel you want to be their friend, they are not going to pay much attention to your words about God. Helpfulness. I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, I'm a friend of yours, and then turn around and walk away when they need help and you can give it to them. So part of the attitude of the Christian needs to be helpfulness. Unselfishness. The world is filled with my rights mentality, which means they want whatever they feel they can get because that's what will make them happy. But that's selfishness. That's not thinking of others and their needs. Instead, we need to be unselfish. Another one is humility. If people see pride in you, that will turn them off. Nobody likes a person that boasts or is proud. That's not a trait that is attractive. And unless we can demonstrate a humility, that will turn off many who might listen to the message we have to say. When you have a genuine faith in Jesus, You will demonstrate it. You can't put this on. It's either there or it isn't there. The people of the world can see through hypocrisy and sham and pretense. And what they see, they don't like. And therefore, the Jesus you're telling them about, they won't like either. If it's inside of you, it will come out. But it's got to be in there already. The right attitude. A preacher in China told about how a young boy had prepared the way for an effective missionary effort in a certain village. The preacher had never visited this village before, so he asked, "Are there any Christians in that village?" And he was told, "Yes, there is one boy, one little boy." The preacher walked on and came to a house where he asked for a drink of water. And he asked, "Have you ever heard of Jesus Christ?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, we've heard of him. There's a little boy here who's always talking about Jesus. And he wants me to give up my idol, but I don't want to do that. Yet sometimes I think he's right. He's so changed. He's so selfless. And he used to be bad-tempered, and now he's sweet and kind." So that is the characteristic that village could see in that young boy that made them consider the matter of Christianity. A changed attitude is the first requirement in being able to effectively share your faith and have people take notice. Your attitude will show up before you're talking more than just a few minutes with them. We said ACT was the acronym. C, conduct. Besides the right attitude, we've got to have the right conduct. Always tell the truth. Be absolutely honest in every dealing you have. Be so much of a commitment to that view that if you ever start to tell a lie, it immediately strikes your heart and you're led to say, "Oops, that's not the way it was." Develop such a conscience that you will convict yourself. Keep your promises. Do what you say you will. People are so turned off by being told this and that. Of course, in a political year, why, there'll be a lot of promises made by various ones in the political realm. But we know from experience that those are not always kept at all. And no, it's almost a given that the promises made in politics will not be fulfilled. Be consistent in your life and example. Consistency. If it's the right thing to do, then do it, and then do it every time, not just when it's convenient. Just make that your lifelong habit to do it every time. Aim to be a model Christian in your speech, in your appearance, in your dedication to God. What's wrong with trying to be the best Christian there is? I hear people say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not the best one. I'm not sure I live all the way I should." But, well, why not? Why settle for less? Why not make your object in life to be what God wants from you, and that is a godly person? We always hear people say, "Nobody's perfect." And that's more of an excuse than anything else. Why not strive for perfection to be what God wants you to be? Let your walk back up your talk. Now, you know, we read about 10 commandments in the Old Testament, but I found 10 walks in the New Testament. And I'll give you the verse for them, but we can't take the time to look them up. Listen to these 10 walks. Walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. Walk honestly, Romans 13:13. Walk worthy of your calling, Ephesians 4:1. Walk in love, Ephesians 5:2. Walk as children of light in Ephesians 5:8. Walk attentively in Ephesians 5:15. Walk worthy of the Lord, Colossians 1:10. Walk in wisdom, Colossians 4:5. Walk pleasing to God in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Walk as Jesus walked, 1 John 2:6. 10 walks. What does walk mean in the scripture? It means live. It means the same as let the way you act and live and go through life, let that be what these 10 things are requiring of you. So your walk needs to back up your talk. Someone wrote a poem one time I thought was interesting on this subject. It goes like this. He has a mind and knows it. He has a will and shows it. He sees his way and goes it. He draws a line and toes it. He has a course and takes it. A friendly hand and shakes it. A rule and never breaks it. If there's no time, he makes it. He loves the truth, stands by it, and never tries to shy it, whoever may defy it or openly deny it. He hears a lie and slays it. He makes a debt and pays it. If it's a standard low, he'll raise it. But if it's right, he'll praise it. He knows the word and walks it. He loves lost soul, so talks it. Walking means to live in a certain way for God. Remember, you're giving to others just how you live before others. You're giving them something if you're around them. And you're either giving them the example of a godly Christian or you're giving the example of a person in the world who is selfish and impatient and ungodly. And that's what they have to follow, and they will. Third thing in the three letters is T, A-C-T, act. And that is testimony. To share your faith, you must say something and not just wait around to be asked. I don't think you're going to bump into very many people in life who are going to say, you know, I want to be a Christian. Tell me about how to do it. The people are not interested in that. And we live in a world where if people aren't interested, you're supposed to let them alone. If they don't want to hear the gospel, well, that's their business. They have a right. Well, in a sense, they do. But according to Jesus, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone is supposed to hear it. What if they don't want to? Well, make some effort to do it. Sure, you can't force anybody. You can't make them believe. But you can live in such a way that they will see your life and be motivated and be challenged to follow in your steps, and in so doing, following in the steps of Jesus. An evangelist was returning from a foreign field one time, and someone asked him, "Why did you go to such a strange country with all those strange people?" "They didn't ask you to go there, did they?" "No, they didn't," replied the preacher. And so his friend said, "Well, why did you go then if they didn't ask you?" So he answered them this way: "When I was a young man in college, while going to a dormitory one night, I saw a bright light in the house as I passed. Apparently a short circuit had caused the wiring to catch fire, and the house was in flames. But since this family had not invited me in to warn them, I didn't want to be so bold as to disturb their peace. So I just walked on home." And immediately his friend said, "You did no such thing. You ran to that house shouting that it was on fire." And the man said, "Well, yes, of course I did. And the people of that strange land didn't invite me either. But I knew of the danger they were in without Christ, and I knew the peace that they would find in knowing Him. Knowing these things, I was bound to go and tell them." Maybe you don't believe the world is lost. Maybe you don't believe they're in danger. Maybe you don't believe they need peace that is in your life. If you don't believe that, no wonder there's no motivation to try to help them and lead them. You can talk to people on the job or in school where you are, or to a neighbor or friend, and you can urge your friends to attend church. That's a good way to do it. A Bible study, a life group. There are lots of ways that you can speak up. You say, "I'm not very bold. I'm kind of shy." Well, so are a lot of people, but there are things you can do. You can show an interest in them. If someone is new in the assembly on Sunday, you can walk up to them and be friendly. And they're going away thinking, "You know, those people have something. They're friendly. I think I'll go back." And as they do, they may hear the message that brings them salvation. You can visit with people in your neighborhood or wherever they may be and show love and kindness, friendliness, unselfishness, and happiness before them and influence them that way. You can arrange to teach someone. You know, many people say, I don't know enough of the Bible. I can't teach anybody anything." Well, you can find out whether they're interested in a Bible study and then go to someone that you know is better versed in the Scripture, and they will be willing to go and teach them. So there are ways you can do that. A young man one time attended church services faithfully for 7 years without missing a single message. Pretty good record, isn't it? One Sunday, the preacher placed his hand on the shoulders of the young man and said to him, "Son, are you a Christian?" And the young man said, No, sir, I'm not." And so the preacher spoke to him about his soul for about 5 minutes, and he said, "Well, I will surrender my life. I see that that's the right thing to do. Yes, I'll become a Christian." So the point is, what 7 years of sermons didn't do, 5 minutes of personal confrontation by someone who loved another individual enough to help them find God actually brought it about. Sometimes people expect others to get the point and to take the full initiative in becoming a Christian. But there comes a time in most everyone's life that they need a personal confrontation. And that's not always easy to do, but oftentimes is the only way someone will ever be led to making a decision for Christ. You know, I think maybe if we were to analyze that, there's some element of pride that may be involved there. We don't want to get our feelings hurt. We don't want to be turned down. We don't want to be thought of as a religious fanatic. There are lots of reasons that are related to our personal pride that causes us to avoid making a confrontation. If you want to share your faith, you can do it by attitude, by conduct, and by speaking a testimony, ACT. But how does giving away your faith help you to keep a living faith? If you give it away, you do that so you can keep it, I already said. How can that work? Well, for one thing, if you keep it, then you can know that it is important to you and you'll want to make it important to somebody else. It keeps you convicted of the consequences of sin and of the blessings of salvation. If you're trying to help others that way, it's keeping those important matters in your own mind and close to your own heart. Failing to share your faith will only bring regret and sorrow. I'm sure that the day would come when someone would be lost because of your refusal to be of help or try to be of help to them spiritually. Tom Carter was holding a gospel meeting in the state of Pennsylvania one time, and he learned of a man who formerly lived next door to him. And this man had committed murder, and he and the local preacher went to the prison and talked with this man who was in prison for murder. Then the new convert said to the local preacher, "To think that I lived next door to you for many months and you never talked to me about it. If you had, I may not be here today having to go through what I'm going through. If you would have taken the time to talk to me about the Lord." Many Christians brood over what if. What if I could have done this or that? We've seen that you must have a living, active faith before you can share it. My question is, do you have that kind of faith? Or what kind of faith do you have? Or do you have any kind of faith? Because God wants people to pass it on. You can't pass on what you don't possess yourself. We've seen that the more you give it away, the more there is of it to keep. Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you." So you give away your faith and you have more in your own life to live by. Share your faith by displaying the right attitude. Share your faith by displaying the right conduct. And share your faith by a ringing testimony. Because the more you share it for the good of others, the greater blessings you will have for yourself. So the challenge is, if you don't have salvation yourself, then Jesus wants you to commit your life to Him. And you can do it the very morning at the close of this message. You can come forward and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to live for the Lord. And someone will be here to be of help to you to do that. If you're already a Christian and you have not been very active, very interested in sharing the message, maybe by now you've seen there is more to it. There is a responsibility that you and I have to let other people know. I'm going to pray for you, not by name, because I don't know all your names. But I'm going to pray for you to do one of those two things. If you're not a Christian, to say, yes, I want to be saved. How do I do it? And someone will tell you. If you are a Christian, come and say, I want to be a soul winner. And people will share with you how you can do that. So let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for each one present today. Thank you for your word. And thank you for your desire that all men be saved. Thank you that you gave us a chance to live for you, because we can be up and about and in good enough health to be here and to hear this. I pray for lost souls that might be here, that they'll want to be saved, and that you'd bless them with the opportunity. Bless each one of us who are Christians. We're sorry, Father, for our failures in the past to do as much as we could to try to help others. We know it's what you want done. We know it's possible for us to speak a word, to do a kind act, to show love and concern and friendliness and sincerity to people, so that they can have a chance to be a Christian. I pray you'd bless that whatever our need might be, that we'll that we'll have a desire to fulfill it and please you. Forgive us where we failed you, Father. Help us to do better. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.